This weekend at Westbridge, we have been looking at the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday through the Gospel of John, for giving us clues from Scripture to learn what Easter is all about. And the video we just saw portrays John 20, verse 1 through 18, almost word for word of Mary's encounter of the empty tomb where Jesus had risen from the dead. Mary said, "I have seen the Lord," she exclaimed in verse 18 of John chapter 20. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Isn't that incredible? Amen. Easter Sunday is celebrated by Christians all around the world, past, present, and the same will be next year, and the next year after that, if God still has us here. Easter Sunday truly is a glorious day. As the song lyrics proclaim in that song entitled Glorious Day by Casting Crowns, death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. For those of you who were not with us online or in person on Good Friday, then let me give you a short summary of what we've learned about Easter so far. Then tomorrow or sometime next week, go to our website at westbridgecc.org and check it out and watch about part one of what Easter is. Well, through our study on Good Friday, we learned that Easter is about love. And Easter shows us the true definition of love. And it demonstrates God's immeasurable love for us by sending his son to take our place. Easter is about Jesus' sacrifice, which offers a full pardon for our sins. And Easter is about healing the brokenness of human beings. In part one, we learned Easter reveals God's ultimate act of love, being that of sending his son, Jesus Christ. His blood was shed, his body offered as a sacrifice to heal our brokenness. This statement brings us to the core of Jesus' incarnation, the core of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and it leads us to another answer for what Easter is about. The heart of Easter is about salvation. Jesus came to the earth as a man to fulfill God's plan for salvation. He was like you and me in many ways. He had to be born. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to speak. In those ways, he was fully man. But he was also fully God, Scripture tells us. And when he lived here, he was without fault and without sin. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh," the Word being Christ, "and dwelt among us. We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." During his ministry, Christ modeled the life that you and I, that God would have you and I live in perfect fellowship with him. Jesus highlights, however, that there was really nothing that we could do. The whole Old Testament shows us there's nothing we can do to be good enough to meet the standards in which God sets for righteous living. Jesus confirms through his life the necessity that we needed a redemption solution, something that we couldn't achieve on our own. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's why he came. Luke 19:10 tells us. Jesus came to make it possible for you and I to have salvation. We talked about, and on Friday, God provided a blameless sacrifice on the cross, one that could pay the full penalty for our sins once and for all. Through the blood of Christ, a new covenant was established with God, and it brought about one of the things that, the thing that connects us with him, and the only thing necessary is just for you and I to put our faith, a decision to choose Christ as our Lord and Savior. And after paying that price through his death, he rose victorious 3 days later over death. His victory means that you and I can rise again and have victory over death. Easter is about salvation made possible by only what Jesus Christ did on the cross. In this next part of the service, you all get a chance to participate in the service. So there are some folks that are going to come up, and they're going to read some things. And then as the screen illuminates, you guys will get a chance to read along with them and join into the conversation. So watch for that screen to come up. Read along. That really shows us another answer for what Easter is all about. Easter's not only about salvation. Easter's about hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, Scripture says in Romans 15:13. In that section, Paul utters a prayer that God would work among the Romans in such a way that the unity he urges them becomes a reality. The joy and peace Paul wants for the Romans, well, it really two essential values of God's kingdom, joy and peace. And the Holy Spirit is the power by which the Christians in Rome, Paul tells them, can overflow with hope. And the same is true for you and me through the power of the Spirit that we have, that he's given to us through salvation. We not only receive hope, we can and should be people who overflow with hope. God not only brings about transformation in the lives of individuals, he wants us to be those that express and reflect and demonstrate the values of the gospel. The gospel not only rescues us from sin, it transforms our entire being. God wants those who follow him to live lives that are vibrant with hope. God wants his church to be a place where people find hope. Hope that transcends cultural divisions, ethnic divisions, racial division, monetary division, any division we can come up with, any reason why we think we're different, that's not about Christ. Christ transcends everything because in him we are all in his image. That's our mission here at Westbridge Community Church, to help people find hope, a place of acceptance because we're all God's children. We're all special. We're all wonderfully made, specially created by him. And we're equally valued by God. And therefore, we should equally value one another. As followers of Jesus, our mission is that of telling people they can have hope. It's not found in something, though. It's found in someone. Hope is found in a person, Jesus Christ. Most of us, if not all of us, have lost someone close. Death is an inevitable part of every human being's life. It's in our future, unless the Lord comes back before that time. And losing a family member, a close friend, well, it can be difficult. But even when facing this grief, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, we can have hope, because he declares in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 16. There is hope for both the living and the dead in Christ. There's a final resurrection day coming because Jesus' bodily resurrection, well, those who believe, they've already experienced resurrected life. That's the Christian hope. Each and every day, no matter what difficulty, what loss, what trouble, what trial comes our way, we can look to the future and know what God will do because of what God has already done. And like Paul, we can declare it good Because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. For the earliest Christians, Jesus' resurrection changed their entire mindset. Paul went through unbelievably immense difficulties throughout his life, as we learned this past year. Yet despite this, Paul declares in Philippians 3, 8 through 10, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
Living with uncertainty can take its toll. The normal day-to-day is replaced with fear, worry, doubt. When our normal is disrupted, our surroundings begin to feel weak. Foundations begin to rattle. Our lives become disoriented. As time goes on, we begin to lose sight of the one constant on our journey. Jesus. The fear is consuming. The worry, draining. The doubt, painful. Even in our darkest moments, when the last thread of hope has unraveled from our being, we must dwell on truth. We must remember, no matter what is happening around us, God is still sovereign. Today, let us dwell on the truth of Easter. The stone has been rolled away. The grave has been rendered powerless. Death has transformed to life. In our fear, he is still risen. In our worry, he is still victorious. In our doubt, he is still alive. When everything seems hopeless, the hope of Easter remains.
Paul and other first century Christians, the resurrected Jesus gave them hope despite incredible obstacles. The same hope can change the way you and I look at every day. Hope can equip us to approach the circumstances in our life with an entirely different mindset. It can give us what we need to overcome any feelings of despair, fear, depression, grief. Hope found in the person of Jesus is what you and I need to move forward. Peter tells us that we have a living hope in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Let me read this for you. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Through you, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The hope Peter speaks of is not wishful thinking that's associated with the word hope in today's culture. Like, well, I hope it's not going to rain today. Or I hope I pass that math test this week. Or I hope it's nice enough to go to a motorcycle ride or a bicycle ride or to do that egg hunt that they promised me after church today. Or hope that I'm going to get a tax refund. Or hope that the gas prices are going to go down. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's not the kind of hope that Peter had in mind at all. You know, the Greek term for hope in this passage means an eager, confident expectation. The hope of the believer is not only living, it's supposed to be lively. The contemporary English version translates this phrase as a hope that lives on. Unlike the empty, dead hope of the things of this world, this living hope is energizing, it's alive, and it's active in the soul of believers. Our living hope originates from a living, resurrected Savior. So far, we've added to our understanding of Easter that Easter is about salvation. Easter is about hope. Well, in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, John sums up and tells his readers, you and I, with great clarity, why he wrote the entire gospel. He says, you know what? Now, Jesus did many other signs, and he's talking about the things that he didn't include in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John wrote his gospel so that those who would read it would believe he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God who rose from the dead. And not only would they believe, but by believing, they would have life. This brings us to the final answer we'll look at this Easter weekend is through the eyes of John. It's one of the key themes throughout his entire gospel. Easter is about life. John, over all the other New Testament authors, places a lot of interest in life in his writings, at least in terms of his use of life terminology. For John, life is a major theme. According to John, believers can have eternal life now, and they've already passed into eternal life. While the other gospels describe salvation in terms of end times, in terms of the kingdom of God, John likes to refer to it as life. Life that you can have in this age and the age to come. Of significance is the way John links life with Jesus. Twice in his account, he tells us that Jesus is life. To Martha, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 11:25. And to the disciples in the upper room, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In chapter 14, verse 6. Scripture links life with Jesus in the closest fashion. Jesus is life. John writes in chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. A statement that follows John's affirmation that it was through Jesus all creation took place.
That's more than twice, brother.
Amen. Right. Amen. But what John talks about more than that of Jesus being the source of physical life, John talks about Jesus being the source of spiritual life. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. And those who place their faith in him also experience life to the full as he shepherds them here on earth. For the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life, have it abundantly. John's gospel reveals to us that real life, genuine life, against all false claims that people said, this is life. No, that's not. Having life can really only be found in Jesus. Easter is a celebration of life that faith in Christ offers because Jesus calls the spiritually dead, the lost, out of their state, and he resurrects them into life. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, as spoken by the words of the song and beautifully portrayed by our dance team. You know, that's not just a one-time event. Absolutely, by faith, we are resurrected from our hopeless state, and we're justified, made right before God, where one day we'll be with him in heaven for all eternity. But there's another resurrection, if you will, a daily renewal of our faith. We have victory through Jesus. However, you and I are still prone to sin. You and I have to fight to keep from sinning. And there are times when we still sin against God, when we seek his forgiveness, and we ask for his strength in helping us overcome. There's a spiritual battle going on all around us and against us each and every day. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy all that is good. The resurrecting that God has done and is still doing is worth declaring. It's worth praising, because that's the power. That's the power that breaks the bond of sin. Easter remains and reminds us that sin has been defeated. Death has been conquered. True freedom, true victory can be attained through the power of the Spirit working in us. Every triumph over sin, however small, seemingly mundane or trivial, well, you know what? That's a victory. It's evidence of God's power in us. Proof that we're being resurrected daily. That he promised us in Philippians 1 through 6. He who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's true and alive in our lives. So as the worship team prepares to come forward and we close, we all have a story of defeat. Death reigned in our lives until from the wreckage, the very making of our destruction, God pulled us out, rescued us, and gave us hope. And as we continue day by day to be resurrected, we become more like him with every victory. So let's you and I live keenly aware that our story has power. The power of God begins to resurrect it in one another. Our story helps others see the resurrecting power. And it shows them and helps them realize that, you know what, the ashes in their life, maybe Christ can resurrect me, because he can. He can rescue them. Through the Gospel of John, we have uncovered some answers for what Easter is about. And what we've discovered so far is something very important, and it's why we as Christians celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday with great joy, great excitement. So the next time when someone asks you, why is Easter so important? What's that about? Well, you can tell them, because Easter reveals this. It reveals God's ultimate act of love, that of sending his son, Jesus Christ. His blood was shed. His body was offered as a sacrifice to heal our brokenness, by which those who accept his free gift of salvation are given hope and receive life. On your way out, there's a small card that's been made. Take that, throw it in your Bible, just to remind you of what Easter is all about. Take an extra one while they last. Give it away. For those who can, please stand as we celebrate the victory of our Savior Jesus. Through him, we've been given life, now and forever. Because he loves us. He came to heal our brokenness. We come on Easter morning, we sing and we celebrate, but let's not pretend that sometimes the stuff going on outside Saturday nights and this year Sunday mornings is hard. It's difficult. Well, you know what? There's a risen King who's ready to resurrect you. Whether it's spiritually, you've not given your life to him, he stands waiting for you to say yes. Whether it's emotionally, because you have something going on and you just can't get through it, or whether it's even physical, he's ready to resurrect you. At the end of the service, Mr. Greg will be up here. Other people in the prayer team are available. Myself is available. If there's something you need, then Talk to God as we close out in one more song before we pray to close. But be bold enough to bring someone into your life and ask them to pray for you. Even if it's not any details, that's okay. Or if you want to involve them, we would love to intercede on your behalf. Involve God because he's the resurrected king and he can resurrect you. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome. Because you have overcome, Christ, we are overcomers in you. Help us to be a people who show others that they can find hope when all seems hopeless, and they can find life even at times when they feel like life is just not what it should be. Father God, through you, we can be transformed. Do a work in us as individuals and continue to work through us here in Alpha, that we'd be a light, that we would show others you're worthy and you're worth it because you are. We love you, Lord. Thanks for coming. Thanks for dying on the cross for me, for us. In your name we ask, amen. If you're new watching us online at Westbridge, or you're new here and you're still worried about, wondering about what's this Christianity thing about, keep coming. But not on Friday and Sunday. We're going back to Saturday nights, 7 o'clock, unless somehow we get voted and we keep doing this twice a weekend. But I don't think Mr. Caleb and I can handle that right now. Right? I don't think we can do that, can we?
No, maybe.
All right. Well, happy Easter, Westbridge family. He's risen. Have a great week.